Our Father, it has been so good to be in your house. Our ears have heard our mouth say that we love you. We have sung a love song to you, men and women, children, singing love songs to Jesus because we love you. And we pray now, Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts. As you speak through a particular message, it will be heard differently and it will be responded to differently. But I ask that all of our hearts be open to the Word, where we can be blessed and in turn bless other people. As we turn to what you are saying to us today, we're in your house, we're opening up our ears, our physical ears to hear the sermon, and our spiritual ears of our heart to hear the meaning of it. And we are asking your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you lift your hands? Thank you. Very good. Would you lift your knees? Would you stand? Would you take a step to the left or to the right? Okay. Thank you very much. Now that you are awake, we will continue. And I would ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. While I'm asking you to do that, I want you to read with me our scripture today. Before we get to our text, we need to read the previous verses. And so what the writer of Hebrews is telling us in our text, which is verse 11 and 12, which says to do something with your hands and your knees and your feet, we have to read what has brought him to this. So let's read each sentence, and then we'll pause just for a moment. Thank you, Ken. Okay, together let's read from the same translation on the wall. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let's pause. Let your eye go back and pick up a word or two. To continue. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Each one of these verses just speak volumes, a sermon for each one. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Would you repeat that? In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastens every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, We had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not even more willingly to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Another one, Ken. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share his holiness. Now, discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And then our text for this day. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Repeat the text again. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. It's the word of the Lord. Thank you, Ken. The word of the Lord. And it is a good word of the Lord, too. What he is doing, people, is addressing the situation of his people right where they are. And it's so important that we address ourselves where we are. A pastor told me just 2 days ago that he writes his sermons on Saturday night so that he will be able to address the congregation as to what has happened on the secular side of the world that week. But not a bad idea. But that's his persuasion, and that's good. But the point is that he was addressing the needs. The writer here has addressed the needs that don't fluctuate. For example, our needs on the political front, the economical front, and the disastrous front in America changes from week to week. And so we would address those needs. But here the writer of Hebrews has addressed, and it's like putting the situation on stone written by the engraving of an iron pen. What he is addressing is what never changes, and that is discipline that we receive from God, and also difficulties that come to us through our living, things that would tend for us to become really, really discouraged. And what they have gone through with verses that we read, for example, in verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In verse 5, you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take or make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Which may be new for many people to think that God would do this, but if we did it as parents, certainly God's going to do it for us, to try to keep us on the right line. But not only what God does, what the world does to us can tend to make us discouraged and make us very weary, and instead of mounting up with the wings of an eagle, like the scripture wants us to do, sometimes we do the reverse of that. We're like a worm on the ground, you know, and we are discouraged. And he is trying to lift us up from discouragement, and as we see what God is telling us today through these various words, the words that he speaks are similar to those in Isaiah 35. In Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah writes in verse 3 and 4, similar, in fact, since the writer of Hebrews had Isaiah, it is a good chance that he quoted Isaiah, which says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. It's hard to live everyday life without fainting, isn't it? It's hard not to get discouraged. And I can look at every one of you, as I did in my mind in preparing this, and I can see a situation in your life and in the lives of those that are not here where they could tend to be discouraged, a situation in which they need the words of encouragement to take courage that they will, you will, I will conquer if we persevere. And so the words to us are unique words that come to us from God. And I like the word in Job. You don't have to turn to it, but listen to Job 4, verse 3 and 4. It says this: "Your words have supported those who stumbled." Now here's where we sort of shift. Eliphaz is telling Job that he has been in a situation where he has supported and encouraged people. We are to encourage one another. I'm to encourage you as a pastor. You're to encourage one another. And he says, "Your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. And so, but now trouble comes to you and you are discouraged." So the point is that the word of God is to encourage us today, and we cannot keep on keeping on the same way. Matters will only get worse. And if we are lame in some particular area and we stay in this, then we may have ourselves out of joint. We've got to strengthen the hands and the knees. So a good pastor supports those who are under affliction. For the lazy, they must work with their hands. To those who are less fervent in their prayers, we've got to strengthen their knees, because it is easy for people to wander out of the path of the gospel. What would you say some of the outward signs of discouragement are? Besides, like that. And I saw a guy like that last week. What are some outward signs of discouragement, would you say? Head hang low. Downcast. Would that be discouragement? Any others come to your mind?
Frown.
Yes, uh-huh. Frown. But you know what? Well, right. Things that you do, that's right.
To be lethargic and just, or also you can go the opposite extreme and be cruel, and if you don't care, you don't care.
Okay. There are things that people do that reflect what they are in their inside. And there's not one person here from the pulpit to the pew who has not at one time gotten very discouraged. Some of us stay in discouragement longer than others. And that's where we need to help each other, pull people up out of that discouragement and not stay in the discouragement. And so the word is that we are supposed to encourage one another. Listen to these words. "Hear, O Israel," and I put my name there, Neil. Say your name. Okay. "Hear, O Neil. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid." I look around and I get quite frightened of many things. But the word says, "Do not be terrified or give way to panic." So I threw away the panic button. There is no panic button anymore except that button up there, which is the cross. And I hear him say through Joshua, "Had not I commanded you," and your name, "be strong, be courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you." Now, what better, I mean, that's, you can't top that. You can't upstage that at all. These are the words from God, from Deuteronomy and Joshua. Don't be frightened. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't give way to panic. "I've commanded you, be strong and courageous." So if God has commanded each one of you to be strong and courageous and not be terrified or discouraged, then why is it that we do what we do? So the writer of Hebrews says to do these three things. First of all, lift up your hands. Now it says, if that phrase, lift up your hands, you who know English know that before the word you put in parentheses, I mean before the word lift up your hands, you put in parentheses you, Y-O-U. You lift up your hands. Arita, I cannot lift up your hands for you because I can't reach you. So it is. Who has to lift up your hands? You. You lift up your hand. And for you to do that takes the W-I-L-L. I can will that you please do that, B, but unless you will to do it, you're not going to lift up your hands. You're going to have drooping hands, which is a sign of discouragement. But the opposite of that is people who don't want others to know they are discouraged will not droop their hands, you know, and that's hypocritical. So it's best to be who you are. What you see is what you get, so that people can say, "Hey, I realize you got a problem," even though, I mean, I know you got the problem. because I may not perceive that you do have it. So he tells us to lift up our hands from weariness and from exhaustion, to renew your courage, and to make an effort. Now think, if you will, right now of your situation that you're in. And we're in a lot of different situations, but think of the situation in your life right now that you would like to have changed, that is negative. Think about it, if you will. God is asking you spiritually to lift up your hands of faith in that situation. Because when your faith grows weak, your hands are going to likewise respond. Lift up your hands of faith in that situation. Now, the beautiful thing is that in every congregation, there are people who are stronger than others. There are those who are weaker than others. And this does not mean that you are less Christian than one to your left or to your right, in front or behind you. It's just a fact. At times in our life, you will find people in a congregation that are stronger in the faith, those who are weaker in the faith. And those who are strong in the faith must help those who are weak in the faith. That is the biblical principle. And so it's the duty of those who are stronger to try to put more life into those who are ready to give up the battle. Those who have slack hands, it's like a reference to the children of Israel who were going through the wilderness of difficulties and adversities, and they wanted to give up. They wanted to give up their hard journey across the wilderness, and they wanted to return to the place where they had the land of the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the fish. What a great reward for one to be an encourager of a person who is near despair, and a strengthener of the man whose strength is failing. And I think every one of you have been in a position in your life where God has said, bless you, my daughter, bless you, my son, because you have, at that point, been an encourager. You have lifted up their hands. I recall one of you people doing that to somebody in our church not long ago, lifting up the hands, literally lifting up the hands to encourage them along the way. God says, lift up your hands that hang low amid the difficulties that you're going through. The second was what? Do what with our what? Strengthen the knees. So every time I hear the word knee, I think of my dear wife's knees that need to be strengthened. So I say to the doctor, what can we do? He says, just take pain pills till the pain gets so bad you can't do anything more. Then you have surgery, and then it may not work. Well, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. But God says, I am the Lord God, thy healer. So Nancy and I stand on that. But I had to chase a small rabbit, that when I talk about strengthening the knees, I think about what she is doing to strengthen her knees, like exercising every day, special kind of exercises she does with her knees. And besides the nutritious way in which she eats, it's that exercising to strengthen the knees that have been made by therapists who know what to do to make that knee stronger, and then to take vitamins, and then also to take special health food supplements, not food supplements, but health food type ingredients that have been known to strengthen the ligaments and even work on the cartilage. So there's certain things that she does physically and spiritually for the strengthening of the knees. And what I say is that for my knees to be strengthened in prayer, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the hands of faith. Say that. The hands of faith. Now the knees of prayer. And so to strengthen the knees of prayer, we've got to make every effort to bear up under our trials. Because sometimes the difficulties come and we're just weighed down and our knees start buckling. I was trying to think the last time I carried a 100-pound sack of something that sort of pushed down, but all I can think of is the 50-pound that I carried last week. And it was a job, you know, picking up 50 pounds. That wasn't hard, but I had to reach in the back of the trunk of the car and pull it out, and there's not much there to lift up. But when I got it, it was easier. Then I put it on my shoulder, and I walked in the house. But as I was walking, my knees felt the weight of carrying that burden. And if it was a lot more than that, my knees could have really had their strength leave. So when he says, make your knees strong, lift up your knees of prayer, what he's saying is to make every effort to bear up under the weight of this problem that you're going through. And to have the hope of victory. And it'll do much to strengthen a person who's almost exhausted in battle. Yes, I can do it. It's like a runner, that last oomph to the finish line. Okay, we need some oomph, spiritual oomph, to try to get past where we are right now. It's true that when one gets discouraged, a little difficulty can become overpowering. You agree with that? If you're in a discouraged mode, then the least little pebble becomes a huge mountain. We can do it. Something really small gets blown out of proportion. It scares us. It frightens us. And when this happens, it's easy, listen, not to face the difficulty. Deny it's even there. What God is demanding is exertion on our part. If we're in a physical difficulty, a spiritual difficulty, whatever kind of a difficulty, God is ready to heal, to help, but he demands something upon our part. He demands something upon our part if we're to lift up our knees of faith. And so in that scripture where he says that we are to do something with our hands and do something with our feet, I'm trying to find it, excuse me. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. It was not in blue. Everything's in blue, but that wasn't in blue. Okay, strengthen your feeble arms and the weak knees. He says strengthen the weak knees. Strengthen the weak knees. To strengthen your weak knees, you're going to, and we're talking about the knees of prayer because that's associated with prayer, with that. To strengthen them, you have to do something, like I mentioned to Nancy. And the best illustration of this, if we are to try to strengthen something, even though it's hard, what I'm saying is God is demanding us to do something, even though it's hard. And the best example is my dear pastor, Josh Clements in Greenfield with his son Ben, went through a hip operation, and he got home. Operation successful. All x-rays show everything is resulting just like it should be. But the guy is afraid to move and to walk. He's afraid to do it. And Dad says, you've got to do it. You know, you've got to get up and you've got to move. But I don't want to because it's exertion on my part. But if he does, which he has better done, as he's done more successfully, as he does that, something happens to the strengthening that was wrong, that had to be corrected by the surgery. Bottom line is, God demands exertion on our part. He demands exertion on our part. He's ready to heal. He's ready to help. But he's saying, you've got to do something. And Ben says, oh, but it's hard. Or, oh, but I'm afraid. Oh, it hurts. But God says, do it. Lift up the knees of prayer. And the third thing, the feet. In that scripture that says, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I checked all different translations, and there are some that believe that we're talking about a medical term here that's dislocated, which gives a better sense than to be healed. And the idea is that, let's put it this way, inconsistent in the body of Christ, in our living, in our body of Christ here, can create a very difficult way for the lame to walk. The lame will become worse, and then there can become a dislocation. Now, they're already lame, but if they don't make the straight paths for them, which we're supposed to be doing as Christian brothers and sisters, then that's going to get worse, and there will be a dislocation, and they will perish. So on the other hand, the habit of going in a plain path for us all would restore us to soundness. So it's like a step farther. When you and I sin, it's like being a lame person. So God is saying, I want you to make straight paths for your feet so that your crippled leg, your sinning part, will not be out of joint, but rather be healed. If we leave things the way they are, as we are lame because of sin, we can become dislocated. And he is saying, make straight the path. Get in the habit of going in a plain path, which would restore us all to soundness.
I like my version. It says, make happy paths.
Happy paths. Make happy paths.
I like that. We walk joyfully in the Lord. We're going to be a reason for people to follow and walk uprightly and not be crippled.
And further, a happy path is a path that doesn't have briars and pebbles and things and briars and thorns and things like that. Straight, not crooked or rough, but straight. So for us as Christians, here's where the body of Christ comes in. We have a responsibility to one another in this church, to its weak members. And at one time we all are going to be weak. But right now, for those that are weak, so we've got to be careful that no offense from us is thrown in their way in their hour of danger. We've got to keep the road clear for these people. And we've got to think about our influence. All of us have an influence on one another in our church. So let's make the way straight for these people. Proverbs 4, would you turn to verse 25? Proverbs 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. And take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. How clear is that? You know, our feet must not be turned out of the way of Christ. Walk straight ahead. Leave no Jericho behind you unconquered. Well, here's a P.S. for our a P.S. scripture to close. It's Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, actually it's verse 19. Isaiah 30, verse 19. O people of Zion, or let's say Community Church, who live in King City, weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, remember that we read from Hebrews chapter 11, and you read it out loud, your ears heard your mouth say, God disciplines those whom he loves, afflicts people. Okay, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of afflictions, your teachers will be hidden no more with your own eyes. You will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. People, we've not been left without a spiritual guide. And so the voice comes to us and tells us which direction we're supposed to walk in. So when we are in doubt, when we're in difficulty, when we're in afflictions, we're going to hear a lot of voices. It's going to be hard to hear the right voice. So we've got to get by ourselves. We've got to go to God. We've got to tell him it like as if he doesn't already know. Get directions. Acknowledge that it may not be what we ourselves want. And then let him guide us. We zip the lip of the world. We zip the lip of our friends. We zip the lip of everybody so that we can hear what God is telling us to do. As he says, walk in that way. So we lift our hands, we strengthen our knees, and we walk in the way that God has told us to walk. In this we hear. In persecution, in sickness, in bereavement, for people who are ready to sink under the burdens, where hands fall and knees tremble and hearts sink, the confidence of God is what rings in our ear. With Moses' words, 2 Chronicles. Encourage with each other these words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For there is greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Encourage with each other these words. Be strong and courageous. Do not. Would you just look at somebody right now? Just pick up somebody. Well, they're going to pick you out too. That's not going to work, is it? Well, then, one-on-one, okay, Ken and Nancy, you and me, the two of you, you two together, and you two, and Robin, you were there. Okay, I want you to look at that person, and I want you to say, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged. There is greater power with us than them. There is greater power with us than them. Amen? Now, it's harder to do than say, but pay as little attention to discouragement this week. And I'm sitting right there. Pay as little to discouragement this week as possible. And be like the male person. It goes through the rain, the sleet, the hail, the snow. And as Daniel says, do not be afraid, O mighty person, esteemed. Peace. Be strong. Now, be strong. So even amid discouragement, heartaches, difficulties, problems that you're going through, and you tagged it earlier today, I mean, I know you are going through some very special times. Amid all of these difficulties, the writer of Hebrews tells us to do what? Our hands of faith, strengthen the knee of prayer, and make straight the paths. Let's stand. Father God, the word is so simple, but it is so hard to put into practice when things are not the way we would want them to be. And so Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, says, as he lists these things in chapter 12, things that they are going through, things that they're going through because of your discipline, things that they go through because of the world placing upon them, things that they're going through because of their own sin. He tells them that they can, if they will, lift up their hands, strengthen their knees of prayer, and walk straight paths. And God, as we are going to attempt that this week, we're going to listen very, very carefully to what you're having to say and to the direction that we're going to walk, the things that we're going to do and say and be this week. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. And your blessing upon this congregation, each one of us who stand right now in your presence, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer, we invite you to come forward for prayer. Above all, just go to God and just say, here I am. Here I am. Anyone to stay?